Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Tuesday, June 6th. Today, we're talking to Sun business reporter Tamara Chung about a state program helping advanced industry startups with seed money for the past 10 years. Before we start, a quick message. Join the Colorado Sun this September for the first Sunfest this fall. Topics will include policy and politics, the environment and outdoors, healthcare, and much more. Grab your tickets today. Visit coloradosun.com/sunfest. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. According to one newspaper correspondent, quote, "The most dastardly crime ever committed in the annals of the West took place in Teller County on this day in 1904. A bitter strike climaxed when members of the Western Federation of Miners dynamited the Independence Depot, killing more than a dozen workers brought in to replace them during a labor dispute. The Western Federation of Miners organized many workers in the state's most lucrative industry at the turn of the 20th century. A national organization, it won its first victory at Cripple Creek in 1894. They convinced Colorado voters to adopt the 8-hour day for industrial workers in 1902. In the same election, Republican James Peabody won the governor's office. He intended to promote economic growth in Colorado by restricting union activities. In 1903, several strikes broke out as workers attempted to force their employers to abide by the 8-hour day. In solidarity with the mill workers who processed ore from the gold mining districts in Teller County, Federation members there went on strike in September. As they had in 1894, union members hungered in Victor while the National Guard took over Cripple Creek. Violent incidents punctuated the strike, but none more gruesome than at Independence. In response, the Colorado National Guard rounded up more than 1,500 people suspected of militancy and evicted 238 of them from the state, shipping them by rail to the Kansas and New Mexico lines and forcing them from train cars. The strike fizzled afterward, as did the Federation. Employers resisted the 8-hour industrial day for years until Governor John Shafroth, a progressive Democrat, and the General Assembly enforced it by the decade's end. Before we continue, join Jason Blevins on June 29th as he hosts Hit the Trail, Tips to Stay Safe While Tackling 14ers. The event is free and virtual. Register today at coloradosun.com/14ersafety. That's 14ER safety. Next, our feature story.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Colorado Sun podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm David Krause, a team editor here at The Sun, and I am excited, as always, to be joined on a Tuesday with Sun business reporter Tamara Chung. Tamara, how's your day going?
Good. How are you, Dave?
Doing great, thanks. Hey, let's jump right in. Loved the What's Working column that came out over the weekend. Thought we'd circle back. You had a really interesting note about a state program done through the Office of Economic Development and International Trade, where they have for the last 10 years been helping give seed money to some of the advanced industries that are trying to do research and development here in the state. Tamara, I'm not going to trip all over my tongue and try to tell people about it before we get into kind of some of the benefits. Can you kind of walk people through what the grant program does and kind of who they target in the state?
Sure. So this Colorado's Advanced Industries Program is actually several different things. You know, it's grants, it's accelerators, there's funding, there's credits and stuff like that. And it's focusing, the main thing about the whole program is economic development. So, and the idea behind that is, you know, the more jobs that are created, the more people who are making a good living, who are living, eating, shopping in Colorado and contributing to the local economy. So this is a state-funded program. And I focused on one specific part in What's Working this past weekend, and that was the Advanced Industries Early Stage and Retention Grants. So these are grants. It's about $10 million a year given out to several companies. This past year, there were, I think, 37 companies and 6 university faculty doing research. And the idea is, you know, you give them some seed money, help them prove out that concept, and and get a business going to commercialize, you know, a product, a service, and eventually, hopefully, grow, hire more people, expand, etc.
So you talked about how much money they've given out this year, $10 million. It's been going on for 10 years, right? Couple things. I thought the numbers were really interesting. The program's funded over 700 projects in the past 10 years. Talk about what that means to economic development, Tamara, but also, you know, it's not like the state's just giving them money and that's what they're using, right? They have to get some more investment to help match that grant.
Right. Actually, to be approved in this process, you know, you have to be in Colorado, sort of either an entrepreneur within seven certain industries. And that's, you know, a lot of these industries they target are more advanced manufacturing. So it would be like one company I interviewed was Vartega, and they take unwanted carbon fiber metal and technology that, you know, maybe the aerospace industry is dumping into the landfill. They take some of that and pretty much recycle it so it can be used in other products like bicycle frames, cars, car frames, you know, all sorts of stuff. So, but getting back to the actual grants, once you get these, you know, the state keeps tabs on your growth. You have to report back your revenues, number of employees, expansions and stuff for about 5 years. And also part of the grant is getting a double match from private industry to, you know, to keep going. And, you know, for a lot of startups, you know, especially one or two person companies, getting some of that early money is really hard. You know, there's a lot of venture capital available, but sometimes it's hard to get the attention of some of those big investors because they want you to prove your concept. They want to see more stuff before you can get a lot of the venture capital funds. Whereas this program, you know, it's state funded. You meet certain requirements, and you know, this actually is a grant, so you don't have to pay it back, but you do have to report back on progress and how it's going.
So, Tamara, you mentioned some of that venture backed companies, and you've been covering venture-backed companies for decades in your role as a business reporter in Denver and California especially. And you kind of touched on it, but how is it different, Tamara? And, you know, what's expected out of these companies, these Colorado companies that are getting this grant?
Yeah, so there's a lot of private money out there. Some of it's just venture capital. Some of it's private equity. Some of it's impact economic development. So, you know, on impact investments, you may not have to have a huge return like venture capital. I mean, when I've covered some of the venture-backed companies, I'm hearing stuff like some of these venture capitalists want, you know, 10x, 50x, 100x return with, say, the 100x return is more like the Twitters, you know, way back when, because, you know, here in Colorado, there was a company called Gannip that started here and Twitter acquired them. And that was probably, you know, I don't know, but that might have been 100x a return for those early investors. But having that pressure of such a high multiple for returns, you have to be a certain mindset to get there. And for a lot of times for, you know, really early stage startups, you know, you can't even get the attention of venture capitalists. And you know, who knows if that's the route you want to go anyway. A lot of the Colorado ones that the state is working with through the Advanced Industries Grants, they're more maybe sort of mission-minded. I mean, they have a lot of potential for high growth, but, you know, they're also local. And, you know, only in the past decade, I would say, has more of these venture-backed companies been starting in Colorado and staying here. So this is one way the state is trying to keep companies here. That's why it's also called the retention grant.
So let's talk about last thing, Tamara, on this program. The return on investment is kind of measured different, right? You talked about that. I thought what was really interesting in what you reported was through the end of last fiscal year, this grant program has created roughly 4,400 jobs and 124 companies in the in the state. Can you kind of talk us through how the state measures that ROI and any other kind of tax credits or things like that that these companies have been able to do in the state?
Sure. So the state, actually, this department has to put out an annual report every year. So every year they report on how these grants are doing. And, you know, I mentioned they target seven industries, you know, including aerospace and stuff and manufacturing and stuff like that. But in the past decade, and I don't think they had grants in the first year. So probably in 2014 or 2015 was like the first grants and stuff. 714 grants. I mean, projects where the state provided $128 million in grants. Every year they track, you know, how many of these projects became companies, how many employees were hired, how many employees were retained from prior years. They track what the potential, what the revenues were or estimated revenues for the following year were, and how much investment, private investment was added to these firms. So in the past decade, according to the Office of Economic Development, the numbers are 4,400 jobs. 4,400 jobs were created. 124 companies were created. All those companies attracted $2.5 billion from private investors. They received 624 patents, IP patents, and their projected annual projected revenue last year was $332 million. So not so bad for a lot of these companies that started with faculty researchers at local universities and just really small startups. Like Vartega is one of them I mentioned. And one other I had spoken to was AI Gene. They are building a rapid test for to check on cancer treatment because it was sort of interesting. You know, I don't know a lot about biotechnology and biohealth and stuff like that. But what they're trying to do is figure out, you know, can you tell if a cancer treatment is effective, you know, long before, you know, instead of like chemotherapy taking months and months for you to see the results, the hope is this could tell you within, you know, right after your recent test. Have you advanced? Have you not advanced? I mean, I get into how they do it, into the story, and some of it is not that new on the science side, like how to figure out if cancer treatment is working or not working. But what they're really doing, AI Gene is doing, is trying to make an actual treatment test to figure out if the treatment's working and doing it fast and affordable.
Yeah, it's really amazing how many biotechs and all that are going on around us in the state, and we just don't know about it. You know, it just always fascinates me. Tamara, right? For people who might be interested or know somebody who might know somebody who's interested, you add in the story, I believe, a link, but the next deadline is end of this month for the next round of seed funding, or what does that look like?
Yes. Well, it's July 3rd for the next round of grants. It's in the story, but it's also on the Office of Economic Development site. Have a lot of charts in there as well, talking about our economy and some of the recent grant winners.
Tamara, great stuff. I know, like I mentioned to you when I was editing the story last week, I was really excited to get on and chat about it today because it just has such cool numbers, such a cool program that kind of flies under the radar. And for people trying to do startups here in the state on, you know, such important work is just really cool stuff. So thanks for the story and, of course, the awesome charts that you always have. If you want to read this story or more business news around Colorado, I encourage you to go to coloradosun.com/business, and you can sign up there for Tamara's free weekly What's Working newsletter. Comes out over the weekend, gives you a little something to read as you're kicking back and kind of wrapping up the week. So Tamara, thanks again for joining me and kind of digging into this topic for everybody, and we'll catch up soon.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. state wildlife officials are investigating whether an errant crop duster is to blame for toxic agriculture pesticides poisoning the Home Lake State Wildlife Area in southern Colorado. The contamination was detected last week and is killing snails that fish eat. State officials said the toxic swath appears to be a mile wide, and the lake is now closed to anglers. No fish die-offs have been recorded. Home Lake State Wildlife Area is bounded by other state wildlife land as well as private agricultural plots, and investigators are interviewing crop dusting operations in the area. A group of mostly women is lining the lawn of the state capitol this week in the hopes of getting guns banned in Colorado. They say they'll remain there until Governor Jared Polis answers the demand of a national advocacy organization, Here for the Kids, and signs an executive order banning guns. Or for at least 4 days, the same length of time the Selma to Montgomery marches lasted. The governor met with the group in May and has said he will not do anything to repeal the Second Amendment. Polis this year signed into law 5 major bills tightening gun regulations. Ballots are due today for the Denver mayoral runoff election between Kelly Bruff and Mike Johnston. They were the top 2 vote-getters in the April municipal election. Denver voters have until 7 tonight to return ballots at drop boxes or go to vote centers. It's too late to mail in a ballot. The Colorado Sun election team will have updates through the afternoon and will be at the candidate watch parties this evening. The winner will be sworn in July 17th and replaces Michael Hancock, who is term limited after 12 years in the role. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month for a basic membership, and if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our exclusive politics and outdoors newsletters. Thanks for starting your morning with us, and don't forget to tune in again tomorrow.